This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
If you or a loved one is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction and are serious about getting help, call us now at 855-820-2797. You can get clean and sober in as little as 7 days. Your insurance company may cover 100% of all costs with little to no out-of-pocket expenses. Our trained addiction specialists are available 24/7 and all calls are free and confidential. Just call us at 855-820-2797. How much longer are you going to suffer with addiction? Let us find you the best treatment center that fits your unique needs. Call us now at 855-820-2797.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome, Joel Rosenberg, to the program. He's got a new book out called Without Warning. It's a novel. And because I know how long novels take to write and how long they're in production. When you saw the new Kiefer Sutherland TV show, you must have gone, oh, come on.
Well, Kiefer's doing a good job with Designated Survivor. I actually started this is a trilogy, and Without Warning is the last in the trilogy, about ISIS capturing chemical weapons in Syria and plotting a series of genocidal attacks. As the Syria unfolds, it's against Israel, it's against Jordan, and now in this book, against the United States. But I began researching and writing it in 2013, Glenn, at a time where I had not heard of ISIS. Al-Qaeda in Iraq, of course. But I met with two former CIA directors, Jim Woolsey, Democrat, Porter Goss, Republican. And I said, what keeps you guys up at night? What are you worrying about? Mm-hmm. You know, I need a new threat for my thrillers. Give me something downstream. Both of them separately said, Al-Qaeda in Iraq is becoming something different. It's becoming more dangerous. I'd focus there. So I did. And of course, as you know, by January 14, mm-hmm. the president of the United States, President Obama, was telling us it's a JV team. It's not a big deal. And 2 years later, ISIS is considered genocidal. But that's why I started this series. It was a little ahead of where we were. And ISIS grew faster than I thought. But it is a monster. And
you're a guy who taught me a lot about the caliphate. You're a guy who taught me a lot about the 12th Imam, the connections with Russia, and we haven't seen each other in a very long time. The world has changed.
Well, back at the time that you and I were spending the most time talking about the rise of the caliphate, I mean, at one point, back when you were on CNN, we did a week's worth of programs. And you recall, I mean, you got hit worse than I did, but caliphate, I mean, come
crazy.
On, don't be ridiculous. That's 7th century. Nobody talks about this. Look, you know, if you just read what the radicals say,
it's not
and
hard.
You believe them,
you
will look prophetic or prescient, but you've got to be willing to say it ahead of what everyone else thinks because it's just not current. But now here we are, and the fight to take down the caliphate is the fight
right
now.
What are you thinking about what's happening in Turkey?
Well, Turkey's turning to the dark side. I mean, it's challenging because they're still a NATO ally, and in some ways we do need them. But under Erdogan, you've got a guy swinging to a militant Islamist perspective.
Saying he's going to send people in basically as a population bomb into Germany.
Well, and look, for the last several years, he has allowed a wave of foreign fighters to come sweeping through Turkey into Syria that are some of our worst enemies. Now, he's tamped down on that. But this is what you're watching is a man who sees himself as a modern sultan trying to rebuild not just the caliphate, but really the Ottoman Empire. We are living in a world where, you know, you and I talked about, you mentioned the 12th Imam. We are not just dealing with militant Islamists. We are, and he's one of them. But we're dealing with apocalyptic Islamists in Iran, the leaders of ISIS. They're not just trying to they're not just radicals. They are trying to bring about the end of the world as we know it mm-hmm. through genocide. Mm-hmm. Now, Iran has a longer term objective, build nuclear weapons and the missiles to deliver them. We'll do genocide later when we get those. ISIS is saying, you know, forget that. You got a car, you got an M16, you got a sword. You can start slaughtering now. And this is genocide mm-hmm. against Christians, Yazidis, Shia Muslims, anybody that disagrees with them. But this is not radical Islam. This is what I call apocalyptic Islam. We do have a president now who at least is willing to say radical Islam.
Right.
And neither of the last two presidents were willing to do that.
I was on CNN International a couple of days ago, and they asked me about, the Muslim ban. And I said, I have a problem with any Muslim ban. I don't have a problem with an Islamicist ban. Right. The problem is that even George Bush, no one is willing to say there's a difference between a Muslim and an Islamist. Yes. And it's hard to find. And I don't know what the difference is. And the population of Islamists over in the Middle East is wildly high.
That's right. Then you have to divide, though, out political Islamists,
right,
and militant Islamists. Right. And I would still say that number, I think, is knowable. You look at extensive polling, as I have with a number of Middle East experts, and we think the number is about 7 to 10% of people who are willing to tell pollsters over the last 15 years, I support suicide bombing, I support, more recently, the Islamic State. They are willing to say, I support violence against innocents to achieve my religious or political objectives. So the good news is 90% are not willing to use violence. And I think you're only talking about maybe 1 in 4 in total who are Islamists. But 1 in 10 are willing to support violence. That's in a world of 1.6 billion people.
That's a lot.
That's 160 million people.
Yeah.
If you put them all in their own country, the Islamic Republic of Radicalistan, it's the ninth largest country in the world, half the population of the United States. That's what Without Warning does. This series sort of takes you into this world, not in an op-ed, not in a Washington speech, but in entertainment. Try to connect with the popular culture to create a high-speed, adrenaline-pumping thriller, Clancy-esque thriller, but that takes you into the mindset of people who are hell-bent on not only killing us, but bringing about the end.
We making any progress against ISIS and radical Islam?
We are. And I think you have to separate it out into two categories. Let's focus on ISIS specifically. We're definitely taking land back in Iraq. About 60% of the land has been retaken by U.S. coalition forces. That's good. We're going to take back Mosul. That's good. We've taken down about 400,000 plus Twitter accounts. That's good. So we're making progress. But if you ask the American people, we just did an exclusive poll to find out, do you think we're winning? Progress is one thing. Winning is another. Most Americans say, no, we're not winning.
I don't think we are because the idea
has gone from Al-Qaeda in Iraq, mm-hmm, which was bad enough, to 120 countries being recruited, mm-hmm, into ISIS. They've killed, yep, more than 1,200 people outside of Iraq and ISIS. Mm-hmm. They've just killed again in London. And I believe they're coming here. In fact, I think that what Without Warning does fictionally is says, as you win in Iraq, don't think that that reduces our threat level at home. It actually increases it for the time being, because these foreign fighters start leaving the field of battle in the Middle East and they redeploy. And a foreign fighter doesn't walk in with a Yemeni or Syrian passport. They walk in with an EU or American passport.
How do you deal with what the American people do? Because I think, under this president, with the lack of trust in the press, with the lack of, I think we're approaching the Bubba effect moment that the military has been worried about, to where Bubba's just had enough. I don't trust the government to keep us safe. I've had enough. I'm taking things into my own hands. With something like you propose in Without Warning, a decimation of the Capitol during the State of the Union.
I'm not proposing that.
I know.
I'm envisioning it.
Yeah. You're telling it just like Kiefer Sutherland is doing now. So as you lay this out, how did you envision the people's reaction? Because I'm afraid we're approaching 1941 kind of mentality. We could easily be swept up into put them all in camps.
Challenging question. Several things. First, over the last 15, 16 years since 9/11, if you chart out the growth of gun purchases in the United States, it's off the chart.
Yeah.
That's not just because of radical and apocalyptic Islam. That's also because of violent crime here in the United States, drugs, and people are like, hey, the government is not keeping me safe, and that's the one job that I absolutely want it to do. So that's one thing. But we did, in this new poll, and I'll send you the link. Maybe you guys want to look at it more carefully because it's fascinating. We asked people, do you want your leader to say that we're at war with the religion of Islam? I was worried to ask that because I thought, you know, what if we get this effect where 30, 40, 50%? It was only 1 in 10.
Yeah, I would
think that's bad, but it's not, you know.
It's not bad.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
1 in 3 say, no, don't mention Islam. Call it violent extremism like President Obama. But the plurality, well over 40%, said, no, call it, I think it was 46%, call it radical Islam. But our leader should be clear that most Muslims are not our enemy. In other words, you want to mobilize Muslim majorities to help us in this fight, not alienate and, in the worst case, radicalize them. So that polling tells me that we're not at the stage where people, are going to war with, you know, locally with
That's
Islam.
Really good.
But I think you look. I've had a lot of criticisms of the president. I think that you have. I'm just trying to recall. I live in Israel now, but I'm picking up
A few.
Listen. I was a never Trumper till Thursday before the election, and I finally concluded. All right, look, it's true. He's got all these liabilities, but if it's him or her.
Yeah,
I'm going with
sure,
him.
Sure.
And Mike Pence is a personal friend, and he loves my novel.
I have to tell you, I don't fault anybody for that. I really don't fault
anybody. Just for context.
Yeah.
He's still making a lot of mistakes. But in the area of ISIS and radical Islam, I give the president a lot of credit. He's putting in an excellent national security team. He gathered 68 countries together yesterday. He's calling it out as radical Islam. Now, I'm calling on the president to give a major address and define that term.
Yes.
Because you and I all know what we mean.
Mm-hmm.
But the American people have never heard an American president say it. And I don't think that the current president realizes that a term that he embraces is actually not a term that most Americans have heard from a commander-chief's lips.
And they certainly haven't heard it defined by the press.
Exactly. Right. So you have an opportunity. He has an opportunity to go over their heads, the press's heads, and talk to the American people. What's the threat? Last year, for example, 37 people in the United States were arrested on ISIS plot charges. 37. That's 3 a month. What I just mentioned, that ISIS is drawing from 120 different countries. So he can lay out facts like that, but then he needs to be clear. Look, 90% of Muslims are not our enemy. We need to work with them, mobilize them to help us.
And protect them.
And to protect them,
protect
exactly.
Them. So,
so I think that's the challenge now, and I think that's the opportunity.
Okay, so the name of the book is Without Warning, Joel Rosenberg. He writes fantastic novels. Let me switch gears here quickly.
Sure.
Well, within a couple of minutes we have left. Russia. Russia is not a friend, and there is something going on in America where we are conservatives are suddenly saying, Putin, he's not so bad. Russia's not so bad.
Listen, well, you've always been prescient in a lot of ways. That's my next novel, so we'll talk about that more next year. But here, it's an urgent problem now. Look, my family were Orthodox Jews on my dad's side that escaped from Tsar Nicholas II when he was encouraging the killing and the raping of Jews in the 1900s. I see Vladimir Putin not as a Soviet-era guy, even though he was trained by the KGB, not as a you know, he's not Hitler, he's not a fascist, but he is a czar. He wants to rebuild the glory of Mother Russia, and that means imperialism. That means taking back territory that he believes is his. The guy has got no controls on him. We did a poll, again, where I try to do some polling to sort of check on, spot check, where are we? I write about these things, but okay, what do the American people really think? In January, we found that 71% of Americans believe that Putin is a clear and present danger.
This January.
Now, what's interesting is this was a bipartisan, well over the majority, who believed that Putin is a threat. However, Democrats were higher, liberals were higher at seeing Russia and Putin as a threat than conservative Republicans. Something is going on. And again, my view is to take these concerns and then, rather than just write op-eds about them, to sort of outflank and go into the popular culture and use novels to try to take people on an adventure ride where they're not planning to learn, but they are. And
are you more optimistic or less optimistic than you were 5 years ago?
Well, that's tough because as a Russian Jew, I'm a pessimist by nature. Yeah. As an evangelical, I have hope. So, look, I am when it comes to radical Islam, I'm encouraged by the current administration, the people that are in there, their seriousness. When it comes to Russia, I'm getting nervous, but I want to believe that Mattis and Pence and Mike Pompeo, who's a friend, and Dan Coats, these are good, serious people. The president is taking a weird approach towards Russia, and I hope that that's a tactic.
so do we all.
But, you know, time will tell.
So do right? we all. Yeah. Joel Rosenberg, the name of the book is Without Warning. You can get it in bookstores or Amazon.com, wherever you buy your books. Without Warning, well worth a read. Joel Rosenberg, thanks.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the trouble that I have sometimes with my son and my daughter. They love the internet, as I do. The internet is an incredible resource, educational, social, recreational. It's all good, except it's not all good. Some of it is real bad, and it can show up on your kid's screen when you least expect it. So how do you as a parent handle it? I want to tell you about Hero Parental Control. It's the most comprehensive family internet solution available, and the activity from all of your family's devices can be filtered, can be monitored, and even tracked via GPS from a dashboard on your phone or your iPad. Material that may be healthy for a teen can be harmful to a young child, and so you need to have the perfect protection level from toddler to teen to mom and dad. One of the most important steps to a safer internet in your home is recognizing this is a really big issue. Hero gives you the power to create a protected and nurturing online environment. There's nothing like it. Try Hero. Block the bad. Choose what's good for your family. Visit BlazeHero.com. That's BlazeHero.com.